Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You were actually supposed to be here a couple shows ago.
Yes.
What happened?
I accidentally got invited to a ladies' pool.
Well, this is better than I thought. Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children. Hey everyone, welcome to Dr. After Dark. Keep the emails coming at drafterdark@gmail.com and the voice messages 818-253-1693. We love answering all that. We've got piles of emails here today. More importantly, I've got my guest, Hans Kim. Hans, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Another Kill Tony world. We've sort of been exposed to that entire world in the last couple of weeks. Tony was here and told his life story, and I was literally riveted. It was so fascinating. Do you know his story with organized crime and second families and all kinds of crazy shit?
I know his mom is in the mob or something.
Mom ran numbers for the mob, yes, because his biological dad, he was the sort of second family for this mobster.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
No wonder he's so mean.
Is he mean?
He's a king of sting.
Is he mean to you or just to the people that he's roasting?
Both.
Both mean to you also.
Yeah.
And now you're touring with Rogan, is that right?
Yes.
That must be fun.
Yeah, I love it. He's such a force of nature.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be in his wake.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Seattle mostly, from 7 to 18.
And where before 7?
New Jersey. I was born in New Jersey.
And what part?
New Brunswick. Rutgers.
Rutgers, right. I just feel like we just talked to somebody from New Brunswick. That's why I was thinking. And then after Seattle, go to college somewhere? Or?
Yeah, Atlanta, Georgia Tech.
Nice.
And then after
That's a natural progression from Seattle to Georgia Tech. How'd that happen?
I was a rebellious child, and I wanted to spend my money, my parents' money, getting away from them.
But Georgia Tech's sort of an engineering school, right?
Yes.
So you didn't flee too far from their web, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was still stuck under the mathematical tyranny.
Right, which is sexist and, and ableist and racist and all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, math, facts are racist.
Right, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And so Georgia Tech, what'd you study?
Mechanical engineering.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah.
And so after your parents killed themselves when you decided to go into comedy, sort of, how did that all happen?
Well, I failed out of every job that I had. I had like an internship and a job. And then
In engineering?
Yeah. Mm. And then I went back to my parents.
Wait, so slow down. So the failing at the jobs because you just weren't into it?
Yeah.
I just hated it.
Yeah, I was like a lazy student, lazy worker.
Mm.
And I got into an argument with my boss. They were like, This classification system should have 3 digits. And I said, actually, it should have 4. And then I was just like adamant about that and kind of disrespectful. And then they just fired me.
By disrespectful, you said, hey, fuckface? Or
just like, I think technically you're wrong, logically, which is racist.
We meant facts are racist, yeah. Right? And so that's sort of shitty, though. I would think a great manager would go, really? Tell me why. What's your make your case? And
yeah. I think he was just new. He was insecure, and it was like a startup company, and it was like a lot of alpha energy. But yeah, I mean, it was like I wasn't performing very well to begin with anyways.
Oh, well, so. It's a good time to have your own assertion of opinion.
Yeah.
When you're already a shitty employee, that's when you take your stand, right?
Yeah.
But that was your only, that's not your only failure though. You had multiple.
I was at an internship and they just didn't give me any work. They just looked at me and how I
Isn't
was
Isn't that what an
asleep.
Internship is?
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of how that works? You just get it on your resume and
exactly.
move on?
Yeah. They just gave me a little title that I could put on my resume.
But you got, again, indignant and wanted work and got in the face of your boss a little bit?
No, I just took it. The next guy that was in after me got a lot of work, so I know it was just me.
It was you.
Yeah.
They figured this guy got it.
Yeah.
So now you go home to Seattle. Are your parents engineers? Or
my dad's a mathematician for Microsoft in the research department. Mm-hmm. And my mom is like a tutor. She's really good at math, but she like teaches high school kids.
Okay. You have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got two younger sisters.
Mm-hmm. They're...
They're successful. They're good Asians.
What? You're a Korean?
Is yes.
Kim? Yeah. And... Korean parents are known for being flexible and understanding,
open-minded,
whatever your career choices
really
might be.
Gives you a second chance.
So you went home with that in mind.
Yeah.
With a couple of failures under your belt. And how'd you do in school?
I got a 3.7 GPA in high school and then a 2.6 in college.
Oops.
Yeah, a whole point, a 25% decrease.
Again, they're happy.
Yeah. They're thrilled at my progression.
Right. And so you go home, and they're like, oh, we figured this was coming since college.
Oh, yeah, and I was arrested for shoplifting in college.
Oh, okay.
I was suspended for a semester.
So again, the people you went to speak to in Seattle were not your biological parents because they were dead, right?
Yeah, they
killed themselves.
Me.
They jumped off of the space needle.
They committed harakiri. Mm-hmm.
They're Japanese. How racist are you?
That's my bread and butter.
So go ahead. So now you go home and talk to whoever these people are now that certainly don't know you. But
yeah, I'm a wild animal. Mm-hmm. And I started going out late to comedy shows.
But what did you say to your parents, though?
I just didn't tell them anything.
You just came home.
Yeah, and they caught me with a bag of weed, which was back in the day. This was before it was legal in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, what? You have a bag of weed. This is like heroin.
This is like heroin.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And they thought I was on the wrong track. I was coming back home at midnight.
Why would they think you were on the wrong track?
Just because I got bad grades and because I have heavily into drugs.
And failed at multiple things.
Yeah.
Except for that. What's wrong with them? They are not open-minded, were they? So, okay.
Then I come back home at midnight every night and they're like worried. They're like, you're doing drugs again. You're doing, prostitution or whatever.
You're prostituting yourself.
Yeah. Or so others.
You're doing prostitution. Yeah. Wasn't that you were frequenting prostitutes, that you were doing prostitution.
Yeah.
Had they caught you in that before? No.
No.
This is a new thought.
Yet. Yeah.
So they wanted to prepare themselves for the worst possible.
Yeah.
This was they're going all the way to the mat now.
Yeah. And then compared to that, comedy is like basically an office
job.
Oh,
yeah. It's, people often say, it's like when you get some sort of something your parents don't want to hear, just come home and tell them you have AIDS. Just kidding. And then it all seems better, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to be a prostitute. You're going to go do comedy.
Yeah. And then they're like, fine.
I can't believe they actually uttered a sigh of relief. Yeah. The idea of you heading out into the comedy world.
I was a pretty bad kid. I was a bad Korean. KGB, Koreans Gone Bad.
Hmm. Could be your website.
Yeah, that's a David Cho. It's his organization that I hope to petition to be in.
Nice. Is there like a entrance exam or rituals you have to go through?
Yeah, you gotta make your parents commit suicide through shame.
You got a head start. And do you have to just consume a whole shit ton of weed or something?
Yeah.
Or, again, you're on your way, man. You're there.
I have to marry a white woman.
Oh well. Are you into that? Does that work?
Of course.
Okay,
yeah.
Of course. And so your family's dead. So you go on a comedy circuit.
Yeah.
And what were you doing out to midnight, by the way?
Just open mics.
Oh, so that whole time when they thought you were prostituting, you were, but you're doing it on the stage.
Yeah,
the
with my emotions and my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just going in front of audiences.
How did you first come to comedy?
Joe Rogan's podcast. I listened to his podcast and he was like, this is a meritocracy. The harder you work, the better you get rewarded.
Podcasting.
Yeah. I've been listening to his podcast.
But he wasn't talking about comedy. He was talking about podcasting.
Oh, well, he was talking about both. Like
everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you thought, I guess I could do comedy then?
Yeah.
You'd never been funny before?
I was sort of funny. I was like the class clown. I was more like a rebellious.
All right. So you had an interest in entertaining and laughing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so And so you're a classic comedian, an antisocial comedian, which is like where a lot of comedic instincts come from. So good for you.
Thank you.
See, something old school. No Korean old school, but just sort of
Lenny Bruce old school.
And so where did you first go?
The Comedy Underground, which is no more, in Seattle.
And had you prepared a set?
I had something planned out. I didn't get to sign up. And then the next time I went up at another club.
Mm. And?
And I did all right. My timing was weird. My jokes were misogynistic. So
timing
I fit
weird?
Right in.
I guess I can never imagine that for him. Anyway, yeah. Misogynistic and sexist? Again, really just wow. What an outlying experience. Okay. And then how did you, and the whole time you're thinking, Joe thinks I can do this.
No, I hoped that he would never see me or hear from me because I thought I wasn't ready for the big time.
Right.
So I was just plowing my craft, just trying to get better and listening to his podcast.
There's no Coursera for comedy. What did you do?
Just kept going up at open mics.
But was there somebody advising you, or did you go listen to other people, interview about comedy, or
podcasts were very helpful.
Yeah. And so, did you have a certain approach to what you were doing?
I just put in a lot of work. The first time I did comedy, I listened to Joe Rogan's whole special and then wrote down every word that he said on there, which didn't help, but it's just like a. It was just a show of dedication.
Right. So you actually were a good Korean after all.
Yeah, just in the wrong direction.
Well, I don't know. It turned worked out. I mean, yeah,
luckily.
And so you got better.
Yeah.
And then you got good, imagining. And then how did Joe come to that to you?
The pandemic happened. I was living in New York and I was on a road trip to Miami. The pandemic hit and I was like, I can't go back to New York. New York was like,
closing
it was the worst
down.
Place
yeah,
for
it was
that.
Yeah, shutting down.
So I was on the road. I lived in a van, so I had no nothing tying me down. So I just went all over the country. And then I heard about the experience in Austin, about this independent, you know, free from all the industry and the agents and just for comedy. All we need is an audience. And Joe Rogan, the biggest comedian, biggest podcaster, is there. And then one of my favorite shows, Kill Tony, is there, which gives up-and-coming comedians a chance. In front of a bigger audience. So I was like, let me go check it out. I've already been to LA.
Were you found by Kill Tony?
Yes.
That's how you were found.
Yeah.
So you went up, they pulled your name out of the hat.
Yeah.
And instead of them giving you shit, they liked you.
Yeah. And then Tony said something. He said the word.
Is that you?
No. He said it to someone else.
Okay, right. Okay. I'm familiar with that whole episode.
Yeah.
And had that happened before or after you?
That happened before.
And so then, did you start talking about that when you came up?
Yeah. And then he was like, hey, I said this thing about Asians. If you want to come back next episode and sing the national anthem to sort of ease the transition.
Right.
And heal I was like,
pain.
Sure. Yeah.
Heal the misery.
I'm ready to stand up for comedy. You know, comedy is more important than hurt feelings or whatever. It's a comedy club. And then I sang the national anthem and then I did a set the next week and then they were like, we want you to be the regular. And that was a dream come true for me. I've been a fan of the show.
That must have been surreal.
Yeah.
It's like you did a walk on Seinfeld or something in the 90s and they went, you got it. You're going to be part of this cast.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Did you call your parents immediately?
No.
Would they have appreciated it? Had you no. called? Would they have any fucking idea what you were talking about? Mm-hmm.
So, they don't even have YouTube yet.
Do they understand what you're... So it kept going, and then how did Joe get involved with you?
Well, I actually had sex with a stripper inside of a broom closet, and then Greg Fitzsimmons told Joe Rogan on the podcast that I had sex with a stripper in a broom closet.
Did you do it so Greg would say it on?
No.
Why did you do it?
I love sex.
So it's just. And how did you get the stripper to? Did you pay her?
Oh, there was a segment on the show where
Kill Tony.
Yeah, where people would come up and kiss me, because I'm like a like a nerdy sort of soft little boy.
What?
So it's like funny that people were kissing me.
Right.
And then afterwards,
men and women.
Just women.
You are so fucking sexist. Man,
yeah, which is I really
racist, sexist, misogynist.
It's I really hate men.
Born for comedy. So all right. So and then a stripper showed up and said, "Let's go in the closet."
Yeah, we hit it off. She had a date. Her date. They were like, "We want him to watch." I was like, "I was a little misandrist."
You hate men.
Yeah, especially in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah, not your thing.
Yeah. Stay out of the bedroom. And then I went into the green room and they were like, "Hans, why do you look so weird?" And I was like, "Oh, I just had sex in the green room." And then Greg Fitzsimmons was like, "That is the comedy that I have grown to love. This is the energy that we love so much."
Okay.
Is crazy sex.
And so he mentions it and Joe puts you on the show?
Yeah. I'm sure there were other things that were part of the reason why.
The fact that you were on Kill Tony and yeah. performing well.
And Tony vouched for me.
Okay. How long have you been doing it all for now?
For comedy or
with
Joe?
How long have you been doing the Joe, yeah, the Joe group?
About almost a year now.
Are you liking it still as much as ever?
Yeah.
Are you still doing the same application of your Korean heritage to the process of comedy?
Yeah.
Where you study the shit out of it? Would people be surprised to know how much you study and think about it?
I'd hope so.
How much? Tell me, like in an average day, do you have a process?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
you obviously don't get up very early.
No,
we'll talk about that
slept
in a second.
A little late.
We'll talk about it. But go ahead. When you do get up?
Yeah, I get up at around noon or two.
Yeah.
And then I try to write 2,000 words every day. It's about an hour.
Of comedy, or are you writing something else?
Just diary, comedy, anything that'll come out. I just try to hit that mark.
Are you always a writer, or is it the writing just come as part of the discipline of doing the comedy?
I think the writing helps the comedy, but the writing is like a completely different art form than the comedy. I think that they're not necessarily the same thing, but I think they help each other.
Yeah, and then so you write for a couple hours then?
And then I'm always just thinking about it and writing things down in my notes and ruining interpersonal relationships for the joke.
Right, so you can then talk about it.
Yeah,
beautiful. And are you like Joan Rivers, where you have like a file cabinet with cards and stuff?
I have a spreadsheet.
Spreadsheets. You do all on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I'm old school with a yeah. file cabinet like a library cards.
Yeah.
If we were to call your parents, would they be pleased, or would they be like, "Oh shit, he's calling us"?
I think they'd be pleased. It's been about a month or two since
Should
I called.
Should we call him?
Yeah, sure.
You want to call him?
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting if we talked to them. Would they be open to an interview from me?
Yeah.
You can just do it on my phone.
Okay, let me look up their number. I'll call
my
mom.
You don't know your parents' number?
No. It's all on the computer.
Right, again, you just click a button.
Yeah. Here's the number.
Okay. You're sort of, it concerns me a little bit. Because you're dangerous interpersonally. I don't want to completely fuck up your relationship with your parents.
It can't get any worse.
Okay. That soothes me a little bit. Do you want to speak first to them?
Sure.
And introduce me? Okay. Here we go.
So they can hear me now?
Mm-hmm. They will. And you'll hear them too.
Okay.
What's your mom's name?
Jonga. It's the same number.
Say it so I can say her name.
Jonga.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated...
Damn.
Should we call her from my phone?
She sounds like a game where you pull wood sticks out from a pile.
Jenga.
Jenga?
Yeah.
Is it like that, but just Jonga?
Yeah, Jonga.
Okay,
Jonga.
Okay.
Yeah.
First time anybody's ever said that. Her name is Jonga. It sounds like Jenga. No one ever says that?
No.
All right. Now, the other person I need to call is my wife, because I was going to tell her that we were going to talk to her.
Yeah.
And we're going to get off, take the heat off you for a second. The reason we have to talk to her is I brought up on the show recently her farts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And have you ever ruined a relationship talking about farts?
No, not yet.
You don't seem like a fart humor guy.
No. I usually hold it in.
Are they funny, farts, to you?
Yeah, yeah.
How about women farting?
No.
Not funny.
No.
Not into it.
I'm sexist.
I know that. But can we get you through a conversation about it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do it. Okay, here we go. You sound kind of excited. You're courageous. You're adventuresome.
Yeah.
You like new things. All right, good.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Hitler.
So Hans Kim is my guest.
Hello.
There's Hans.
Hello, Hans. Nice voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's a gentleman that was going rapidly down a path to mechanical engineering and diverted into comedy. And his parents killed themselves. So it's a whole sad story. No, relax. I'll tell you about it when I get home. So anyway, the reason I called.
No,
don't worry.
They're alive.
He. By the way, Hans is sexist and racist. So be very careful what you say. And the reason I'm calling you is we had talked a couple shows ago about your morning farts. And you know, it's an interesting thing. One of the things I've noticed, Hans, that the humor around farts is mostly white men.
Mm.
Like any other ethnicity, not so into it. And some ethnicities, not into it.
Come on, man. No one's actually fucking into it. Y'all are playing games.
You're into it?
No, I said none of y'all actually are, man.
Nah, dude. Farts are good.
Nah, man.
Farts are funny.
No.
They all suck.
We got three white dudes here. And all the three white dudes got. No, she actually makes my day. I like laughing in the morning.
Nah, but that's different, man. You like them in your face, remember?
Yeah, I said I said I would take it in my face. Yeah, I don't really like it. I said I love my wife. She can do anything. So
I can do anything I want.
Yeah, she can do anything she wants. Exactly. But she has quite a symphony in the morning, and it brings me
it's
joy.
It's like an alarm clock in the morning, but she sleeps in later than me, so it's like an alarm clock.
Yeah, it's my morning. It's a wake up call.
Yeah,
and
so it's like disappointed warm-up if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but what I find most extraordinary about it is that it runs from like a musical instrument, like literally like somebody on one end of the spectrum, and the other is like a 75-year-old alcoholic, obese alcoholic, let loose in my bathroom. And then I find
sometimes it sounds like a duck.
And the duck in the middle. There's a duck that's out of the middle. But the 75 or 85-year-old obese dude cracks my shit up. Because
I'm usually standing up when that happens.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing.
That's how it comes out.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's the...
Comes out faster, yeah.
He's squeezing.
Any questions for her?
Usually it just falls out. It's no pressure. It just happens.
Han's not into the fart humor because he's a Korean gentleman.
Oh, he is. Oh, okay.
But he's very adventuresome. He'll go anywhere.
I'd love to explore this world.
Yes. And so I wonder if you have any questions. I wonder if you have any questions for Susan. Susan's my wife. We're going to call his parents too. Don't worry. I'm going to ask them why they haven't killed themselves. But go ahead. Hans,
so Susan, is this like your body just getting ready in the morning? Is there like a certain diet that you have before you go to bed that you think like changes the symphony?
I actually read somewhere that it's healthy for you to fart in the morning because, you know, when you sleep, it kind of accumulates. Mm-hmm. And then when you wake up and you sit on the toilet, it just automatically comes out. I don't fart all day.
And it doesn't push the brown out, Tom and Christina, but keep going. Yes. and the other.
But there is a lot of pressure in the morning, and sometimes it's louder than other times. And it might be my diet. Like if I eat a lot of junk
food. But Hans,
food
it's always good.
On an airplane the day before, I think it's more of a grandpa, definitely.
Sometimes you'll do all three in one morning.
That's a grand slam.
It is. It's a trifecta. I know it's going to be a good day after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what has kept us together for.
And of course, she doesn't have the same appreciation for it that I do. Mm-hmm. She's always hiding it, always upset about it. I'm like, I'm laughing out loud. I'm having this great, joyous experience. And she's like, oh, I guess
so
I'll
tolerate. Drew, was it as regular of an occurrence early in our relationship, or did it get? I feel like it happened more with old age.
Yes, you're right. I'm not that old, but I'm
gonna say older age.
I feel like we're a lot closer now. Yes, we are much closer because of it.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's the farts that bring you together.
Was it after 50?
Oh, look at that! See what she? That's a reference, guys. That's what you call a callback. She said it started after 50.
Hell yeah, Susan.
I think you're onto something. So
anal pushes the farts out.
Well, or it doesn't push the farts out, it creates the circumstances for joyous production. joyous quality to the farts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
I think when I was pregnant too, I might have farted a lot more, right?
I don't remember.
In my uterus.
I don't remember, but you always hid it from me. And see, I was offended. Yeah. By it. I always thought it was just keeping me from my true source of happiness.
Well, also when we moved into the new house, you can hear better since, you know, my bathroom's right next to the bedroom.
I suppose that's true.
And I can hear you too, by the way.
Oh.
I'm not the only one who farts in the morning.
So I don't bring you joy.
I can hear you.
I don't. It does not spark joy for you.
Yours aren't that fun. They're just cheap, and that's it. I mean, you know.
Okay.
You have a
does not spark
bubble.
Joy. I'm noticing. So Hans is loaded up with some questions here. I can feel him coming. Go ahead.
So do you think it's because Dr. Drew maybe doesn't have like the biggest butt, and so the butt cheeks.
Right. He has a really flat ass. Really tight. And he's never put anything in there.
Oh, so he's
she sounds like she's complaining.
He's a gold star heterosexual.
Yes. It's a virgin, I think, as far as I know, anyways. So.
You haven't had a brown lollipop yet?
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, she's not. Keep going, Hans. Anything else you'd like to know?
You don't have a brown ring on your pinky?
No.
No. But thank you for limiting it to the pinky. I appreciate that.
My nails are way too long for that. Mm-hmm.
Some people still into that too. Who knows?
Just fishing it out. So do you think like farts are funny because we're used to noises coming out of mouths, and then to imagine a butt trying to make a noise, it's like it's trying to communicate with us using sound. So it's like, oh, the butt.
Yeah.
The butt is talking, sort of.
I don't know. It's just funny because when it happens, sometimes it surprises you and you didn't know it was coming. So it just kind of sounds funny and it makes you laugh. Like, oops, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, she started laughing at it too.
I can't fart on command. Like I wish I could, but.
But you know, you can develop people's comedic, you know, sort of sensibilities.
Yeah,
I've improved hers.
So you could come out, yeah, it comes out your butt, and then it comes out your mouth as a laugh.
Yeah,
it comes out both sides.
Yeah, it's good. It's
a nervous
good.
Laugh. Yeah.
All right, honey. Well, thank you for participating here. See you in a while. Thanks.
Love you. All right. Love you.
Bye.
Bye, Hans.
Bye.
Bye, boys.
Nice to meet you.
See, that's a good wife. Now, what's really funny is she's this perfect specimen. And having her, this specimen, now like a 70-year-old male, it's ridiculous. She also gets allergies. I find that ridiculous. She's such a perfect specimen that it's like, you shouldn't have allergies. And you shouldn't sound like a 75-year-old obese male alcoholic. It's like that juxtaposition for me is what I find so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But one of the things I find funny, the actuality of the sound is funny too, is back way back in the day, I did a radio show with a one-hit wonder band called Dogfish, if I remember right. And it was a bunch of young, you know, jacked up 19-year-olds. And they were on the show. They were very funny. And they said, you know, why do people not find farts funny? They come out of your ass, they sound funny, and they smell funny. What is not funny about that?
Yeah.
And you kind of were zeroing in on that. It's your ass trying to communicate with you. I think you're
it's
right.
It's like an alien.
It's like an alien. Okay, so... So you're saying if aliens came here, they'd talk out of their asshole? You should do cartoons. So let's, I haven't finished my, I want to do some emails and voice messages. We got to help people, right? That's part of the show's about. So you're going to help me help people.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do, you were actually supposed to be here a couple shows ago.
Yes.
What happened?
I accidentally got invited to a ladies' pool.
Well, this is better than I thought. So, are you making this up?
No, this happened two nights ago.
Two nights ago was Monday night? Two nights ago?
Monday night. Monday night.
Today, Wednesday? What's today?
Today's Wednesday.
Okay, so Monday night.
Yeah.
You done no stand-up that night, or
had you? I did Kill Tony on Monday.
Oh, you did Kill Tony. Okay. Yeah. And somebody took a liking to you?
It's a person that I met way long ago. We met at Kill Tony.
Got it.
And I went home. The Kill Tony ended. I went home and I was about to wind down for the night, get ready for the next day. And then this lady calls me and says, "Hey, we haven't hung out in a while." And I was like,
No, we haven't. And
did you use that voice?
Yeah. I tried to convey my intentions. So she invited me, and turns out she lives 30 minutes away, but you know, it's not a big deal. I have a hybrid vehicle now.
Yeah.
So I drove 30 minutes, and then she had two Great Danes, very large dogs. One took a shit in front of me.
Nice.
Disturbing.
Just to show you.
Yeah, he outflipped me. And then we went swimming. I touched her buttock area consensually.
Did you have to ask for permission?
No. I just sort of like, oh, I'm about to fall into the water. Let me hold on to something.
Is that a floaty? No, it's your ass. Okay.
And then we danced a little bit. We got kicked out of the pool.
Oh, you were in somebody else's pool?
It was her apartment complex.
I see. Too late for that. I see.
It was like 2 a.m.
Okay.
And then we went back. We danced together. We kissed a little bit. And then I was like, I got to go. And then I picked her up. And then we kissed some more. And then we hugged about 5 times. And then I left.
He's not what you call a closer, is he? not closing the deal. Invited over to whatever and didn't quite close the deal. But same guy has sex with a stripper in the broom closet. You got range.
So, I just take what nature gives me.
Right. Yeah. Yes, I understand. Well, I think you've even bettered it. So nature gave you this young lady. Your sense was she was not that into it.
Yeah.
So good. You're a gentleman. And
yeah. We hugged it out.
Hugged it out. Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I came home. I was so high off of, you know, touching butts, that I forgot to set an alarm. I forgot that I had a life the next day, and then I sort of woke up, and it was way too late.
Did you call her again? Have you seen her since?
Yeah, we've been texting.
Okay, so you're going to go date her again?
I hope so, yeah.
Okay, does she know that?
I hope so. I'm not just going to show up.
It's been essentially 3 days since you've seen her. Do you know how long that is in women years? It's a long time.
Yeah, she might have forgotten.
Yeah. You got to make the next date.
Yeah.
To recall her?
Sure.
Nadav is saying no.
Nah, man. Why are you trying to kill this man's game?
This is what he does. He does.
Up, dude. She don't want to talk to Dr. Trudeau.
Well, I'm sure she would love to talk to people.
Okay. I'm going to help him. Okay, I'm gonna help him. I'm gonna help you.
Thank you.
Okay, with the top number?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Why does she, now she has an LA number? Right?
Yeah, she used to live in LA.
Right,
but she's from Austin.
Okay, you, we got to get. What do? We have to get permission from her, right? What do we do here?
Yeah, maybe we don't do this.
Come on, I'm gonna help Hans.
Is Texas a 2 consent state?
Probably. I wouldn't want to bum rush her with that, but
well, yeah, because I mean, you're gonna have to start out with like, "Hey, you're on the podcast. Yeah, also, I'm Dr. Drew. Also, I'd like to ask why you didn't have sex with Hans."
No. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna help Hans. So here we go. You talk first,
okay?
And tell her we're doing a podcast. No, nobody picks up the phone when you're calling.
I mean, it's your number.
Oh, that's right. It's my number. Oh, it's because unknown number.
Yeah.
Shit. That's why people aren't picking up. Damn it. Well, we can just put your phone in this.
Oh.
Hold on.
Hello.
There she is.
Hi, Jekka. This is Hans. You're on a podcast.
Oh, fuck.
I'm here with... I'm here with Dr. Drew, and I think he had a couple questions about our late night tryst.
No. I told you, correct me if I'm wrong, Jekka, but I said he told me how much he really enjoyed hanging out with you, and I said, why haven't you set another date with her? Right?
Well, if you want to call it a date.
Well, whatever. I mean, why doesn't he? I thought, and by the way, you're on a podcast. If anything is uncomfortable, please tell us. This is not to bum rush you at all, but I literally we were talking about it. He was saying he'd had a great time and he wanted to see you again. I said, well, it's been 3 days. Why don't you make another date? Right?
Hey, you got a call.
You got a what?
You have to call it, you know?
Right. But am I wrong? He should be doing that, right?
Yes.
Okay. See? You see?
I told him that we were texting.
Barely.
You see? Hans needs
Hans is just kind of like in his own world.
He needs a coach.
That's called Asia.
I've lived in Southeast Asia, actually, and I lived there for 2 years. So.
Well, they don't even have phones there.
So it's not even representative of his culture. It's just purely Hans.
It's just exactly purely Hans.
Okay. I love Hans, so I'm guessing you do too. And so he just needs a little coaching because he needs like to sort of see your point of view. Like, because I was telling him, I'm like, no, when somebody, you know, you have a nice time with somebody, they want to know also that you had a good time. And the way you indicate that is by, hey, let's go out next Friday. Let's set a date.
Would you like to go on a date with me next Monday?
Next Monday?
Yeah.
Let me see. Hold on. It's what time?
You have Kill Tony on Monday.
Yeah.
So it'd have to be late, like midnight or something. That's not how you do this.
That's what it was last time.
I know. That's not how you do this. Like, oh, my God.
It was Monday at like 1 a.m.
No, Jack, I've got your back, honey. This is you have to ask her out for dinner, maybe Sunday night.
Sunday night?
Sure.
See?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
He's actually really happy. I'm happy I could help you. And Jekka, thank you for coming on here. I look forward to meeting you one day. I plan to hang out with the Kill Tony guys more. So yes. Now that I've gotten to know all of them. So Jekka, okay, we're going to let you go. Dinner on Sunday. When Hans leaves here in about 45 minutes, he's going to call you and tell you where he's taking you and what time, okay?
All right. See you Sunday, Hans.
See okay. you, Jekka.
Beautiful.
Bye.
Seriously, that was?
Thank you, Dr. Drew. You just got me laid.
Yes. Yes, I believe I did. And she sounds great.
Yeah. She's a very sultry, beautiful woman.
Well, you got to be able to do this on your own, man. I'm not going to be here all the time for you. I like that. I think this phone is done. I feel so good about this. We really helped somebody today.
Yeah, good job, guys. Let's continue the help train. Maybe some emails?
Yeah, all right, we'll do the show. What you're talking about is actually do the show? Okay, if you insist.
And also, congratulations, Hans.
Thank you, man.
But you better fucking call her when you leave here.
I will.
Because it'll make me look bad. And now I'll be like your parents. And probably just because you see me as your parents, you won't do this now, right? Don't think of me as your parents.
I'll send you pictures.
Whatever. When I was a child, my foreskin would not retract when I was right. Did we do this one already? I could retract my foreskin when flaccid, but now when I get erections, the foreskin won't retract at all. I'm still a virgin. I'm wondering, would it hurt to have sex right now with this condition? What do you think? You ever heard of a phimosis?
No.
Gentlemen, show us a phimosis.
Show me phimosis.
It's a condition. Oh, that's not it. It's a condition of the narrowing of the foreskin where the head of the penis cannot come out.
I've never had a foreskin.
No, go to the... You had one. Somebody took it away from you. There you are. See that little tiny
opening?
Sort of anteater?
Yeah.
It can't... It won't come out. It won't come out. And if they force it out, it will tear and rip and shrink down even more. So he needs a circumcision. That's what you need. Okay. Third ball. When I was around 9 or 10, I was trying to show off for a girl in my neighborhood. I made a bike ramp. You know what's coming next. You know, those balls.
Another phimosis.
Not a phimosis. I'm 28 now, and since that day, I have a third mini ball. It's connected to the original two. So he has what's called a spermatocele or a cystocele. It's a cyst in the testes. It's not a third ball. And those do happen from traumatic injury.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can use testosterone.
Right. You can use this in your... Here's another... I'm going to give you a bunch of vocabulary today. You ever heard of pearly penile papules?
No.
Good. Do you want to make notes while we're... He does want to make notes. I can tell.
Pearly.
Hi, Dr. Drew. I know I have pearly penile papules since puberty. There are small bumps underneath the head of my Johnson. Definitely noticeable to touch and sight. I've had a long-term partner who didn't mind, but recently being single, I'm worried about it. I'm not so confident. I've seen a doctor get it checked out. He said it's common with men who still need to peel their foreskin back. Huh. Well, they can be with anybody. But there isn't much in the way of treatment, correct? I've heard of PPP, pearly penile papules, of course, and what treatments are advised. There really isn't any treatment. I mean, they can kind of burn them off and stuff. They can try things like Aldera cream that they do for warts, but I don't think it's going to work. They're not metabolically active enough. Let's look at pearly penile papules just so you get a sense of what they are. Usually the stuff on the web is pretty dramatic. They can be very subtle, nothing much to them.
But it's not contagious?
Nope, not contagious. Just a normal thing. Nice, huh? Keep going.
It looks like sandpaper.
Yeah, a little bit. It's just clogged pores, essentially. Keep going down, 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 down. They're all showing them all around the head of the penis. There's some of them that can occur all along the shaft, even. Yeah, you see it. It's just clogged pores. That's it. Hey, good times. Quite normal. It's okay. Here's one more. Yo, Hitler. So the Hitler thing is greetings here at your mom's house. I listened from New Zealand. I'm currently catching up on Miss Podcast. Question is about my kid. He's 8, and last year he developed a shit ton of warts on his belly. Now the general practitioner says they will go away in time. And if we try to burn them off, they'll just come back. Will they come back if we freeze them, or will they develop any sort of genital warts later on? Oh, my goodness. They bother him a lot and get caught on stuff. Okay, so A, I'm not sure these are warts, because the fact that he has a bunch of them that spread on his stomach, that in a child, that is usually something called molluscum contagiosum. Again, as we're talking dermatological stuff, Nadav, molluscum contagiosum, which actually is something that occurs in children and can disseminate all over the place. It's also a sexually transmitted disease. People will get it on their pubic area. Molluscum can look like warts, particularly in kids. And sometimes it isn't. If it is warts, you do want to control them. You do want to get them. There's a kid with molluscum. The little like wart-like things. See them over there? So it is something you want to control them if they are actually warts, because warts will spread. They're created by viruses, and the more warts, the more virus, and the more spread. So I don't know. See a dermatologist. I don't like the way your doctor's quite treating them. We have some voice messages. People send us messages. Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Drew, scurvy pussy here. I think I've got the herpes. So did I get this from my ex-boyfriend, or that I had sex with a month ago, or did I get this from somebody else? I haven't had sex with anybody in almost a year besides my ex last month. Yeah, so could you let me know? Thanks. And I'm not coming up in May because I've got herpes. Thanks.
Dear scurvy pussy. So I don't know quite what she's talking about. She first of all, was she diagnosed by a physician, or is she just assuming this what this is? So A, you need to make sure of the diagnosis. B, people sometimes miss the primary infection, and when they get recurrences, then they kind of go, oh shit, I've got this thing. That happens a lot, actually. But it sounds like you're having kind of an exuberant outbreak, but it's been weeks since the boyfriend, did she say? A few weeks? Obviously it has to be that boyfriend, unless it is something that you've had for a while, just didn't know it. Someone's going to have to look at this and tell you. You can kind of tell the recurrences are sort of mild, and they burn out with time and they get better, and you can take a Cyclovir and not infect anybody else and use a condom and really be pretty safe with it. So, you know, you don't worry so much about it, but it's not so much of a scurvy pussy.
It's not a clogged pore.
It's not a clogged pore either. Next voice message.
Hey, what's up, you gassy Nazi? It's Tyler, and I had a question that Nadav or you could probably answer. It's regarding prostate orgasm. Yeah, I haven't heard that much in this in the show. But how is it reached? Can every guy do it? Is there a special way? Keep them high and tight, and I'm coming up in May.
Well, Han seemed lit up by this topic. You're into this, huh?
Yeah, it seems like a fun thing to try.
Well, want me to call Jekka again? Give her some advice. It is, you know, obviously your prostate is reached through your asshole, and it's right in, if somebody's bent over in front of me, it's down and forward. And the idea, though, of a prostatic orgasm essentially never happens. I mean, some guys are so turned on that extra stimulation will do it, but that's really, really unusual. Most guys actually don't like it. It's funny, but I mean, all the, you know, the women's magazines are like, make sure you massage his prostate. Most guys, what the fuck? Get out of there.
Yeah.
Stop. We established that with my wife, too. No, right?
Yeah.
No. No brown
picking. It's all about set and setting.
Yes, that's right. And very funny. And And you could try it. I mean, good luck. Sounds like you're interested in it. And you can use people use vibrators and all kinds of things to try to get, and they like it, some guys, but it doesn't really cause orgasm. It just intensifies it sometimes. And sometimes it makes things worse.
That's good to know. I've just been coming the old-fashioned way this whole time.
Your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or use any devices or anything? Any?
No, just the hand.
Just, yeah, the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love a toy. Nope. I just haven't been, had the, you know, like you have to make a decision to get one of those.
Yeah. And don't like spring all that on Jekka just yet. You know what I'm saying? Just let things evolve. Okay. Another voicemail.
What's up, Dr. Drew and Jew Boys? This is Zach from Ohio. Of course, this is related to White, but how come after a heavy night of drinking, the next day, if I were to have sex or making White, it feels like the orgasm is like so much more intense than regular? You know, it's almost like three strokes. You bet I'm coming up in May. Thanks.
It's interesting to me how everyone has their little idiosyncratic relationship to sexual arousal and orgasm. Like even the four-stroke guy. That's not something I ever really heard about. This guy was on meth and said he'd come with four strokes, you know. And yes, I've heard of being hypersexual on meth, but usually people go the other way. Same thing with alcohol. People usually go the other way. They in the morning they can't do anything because they poisoned themselves essentially. But some people it's more. So to say why a given individual is having this experience, I really can't. So are you more or less after drinking?
I'm less.
Less. Yeah. That would be sort of more normal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've drank a bunch of poison.
I already feel good. I don't need a woman to feel good. No, just kidding.
Okay. You do. Yeah, Jekka, don't watch this. He needs you. Okay. So let's do one more voicemail.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Tanner from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Have a question for you. I drink a lot. I drink somewhere between 3/4 of a handle of vodka to a full one a night.
Jeez.
And I'm experiencing, basically, I'm shitting blood a vast amount, a lot of blood. I went to wipe my ass, and I got blood on my hand. Is the alcohol connected? Maybe. I want you to tell me how. That's why I'm calling.
You know what a handle is?
A handle of vodka?
Yeah. You know what a handle is, right?
Uh-huh.
Those big gallon bottles with a handle on it.
Right.
He's drinking a bottle of that a night. So you're not going to live very long doing that, my friend. Even under the best of circumstances, that ends up in brain damage and alcoholic liver disease and nerve damage in your legs and hands and whatnot. And it's not great for your gastrointestinal system, as you're finding out. I don't know if that's bleeding hemorrhoids. I don't know if that's colitis. I don't know what it is. But you need to go to the hospital right away. You can't stop. It's not like, you know, like you have a bleeding from a cut and you put pressure on it, you can stop. When it's bleeding internally like that, who knows how much you're losing? Who knows how fast it's coming? Who knows what's going to happen next? It needs to be dealt with as an emergency and taken care of properly. Unfortunately, this podcast is going to air in about 6 weeks. So so I'm not quite sure what to do about that. Do we have any way of identifying these people that come in with their... Is there... I'm serious. Is there any way to identify some of these people? No.
Should call
911. Fantastic.
Well, hopefully he's coming in three strokes.
Yeah, he's like on that side. Maybe he's having a good morning.
But you know what we should do, though, is make an announcement that if you're having a medical emergency...
Yeah, but this guy doesn't think what he has is an emergency. He doesn't understand that it is. Yes, if you're in a medical emergency, do not leave a voice message. Call 911. Yeah, you have to put it on the recording system.
That's great advice.
And let's remind ourselves... This show is education and entertainment. I'm not practicing medicine here. And by the way, things I say, medicine evolves all the time, and things I say may change in months or years down the line. And then this thing will sit on the internet in the meantime. Oh, what he said, literally, how wrong he was. Yeah, that was then. Now it's, you know, maybe some
different
ideas.
This is the closest I've been to a doctor in 7 years. So
how old are you now?
I'm 33.
And what were you doing at 26?
On my parents' insurance.
Did you have some specific problem, or?
I have a herniated disc, and I was actually beat up by the police, and I had what is that when your muscles break down and then your liver has to process it all? And
rhabdomyolysis. Shit.
Yeah. So I was in the hospital.
What were you doing?
I was high on acid on the side of the highway. Next to my car, and then the police found me, took me to a jail cell, and then tasered and pepper sprayed me for a while.
Do you know what you were doing? Do you have any idea?
I was just like,
Wild.
I was on acid, yeah.
Were you swinging at people?
No, I was handcuffed.
Why did they have to taser you?
They just wanted to get it out, I think. They were
get the
a
acid
little
out
abusive.
Of you? Wow.
Yeah, so I had rhabdo. So that was the time I was
so
in
the rhabdomyolysis is the myoglobin and the muscles breaking down and massively entering your bloodstream and clogging your kidneys. And the problem is that put you on big IV fluids to push it through the kidneys so they don't go into real failure.
Did you pee a lot?
Right, they're pushing all that fluid in. Yeah. Did you develop any renal failure or no?
No.
So I guess the question would be, why aren't your parents killing themselves?
I guess they are like, well, he's American. He's not Korean. He's American.
Oh, I see. He's not us.
This guy's crazy, yeah.
We take
no responsibility. Nah,
I see. I got it.
He's pretty much white.
And how do they... not that. And how do they explain your siblings then?
They're just like, you know, he's the first, he's a man.
They clamped down on them maybe because after what happened to the American, they realized they had to keep the Korean influence going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep the white man at bay.
What brought your parents to this country?
Education. My dad and mom had a graduate program or whatever doctorate thing at Rutgers. Mm. So they came for that. And then they had us there. So they were like, well, we can't go back now. These kids are American.
And Google picked them up or whatever.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Microsoft. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, man. Only we'd gone home. I'm sure they think of that every day. If only come back to Seoul. Shit.
Might have been a responsible citizen.
So what about the drugs now? Are you still doing a lot of drugs?
I do weed. I do acid every now and then, mushroom every now and then, but nothing too regular. I like where I am now.
You got to be careful with acid, man. It injures people. Mm. I've just seen so much fucked up shit down the road from acid.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying one time, but...
Can you elaborate on that, Drew?
Let's just say I took care of a group of people, several people, that were in a rock band that was known for doing a lot of acid. Not for long periods of time, by the way, for like a summer, essentially. And those people ended up in nursing homes. They had like... Then this was years later, like 30 years later. Like couldn't manage the activities of daily living. Mm. And it's profound mood problems. And then I started seeing a lot of serious mood problems from people doing acid even a few years after they did it. So I just worry about that drug. That's all.
Okay.
Mushrooms I don't worry about so much.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
But I worry about acid, yeah.
Well, yeah, that sounds like Ozzy Osbourne, except...
Ozzy, though, by his... Well, he did a lot of stuff. And maybe that's it. Yeah. I think his Parkinsonian stuff probably came from the amphetamines.
Oh,
and
damn.
So there is an amphetamine-induced Parkinsonism. And that probably is what happened there. And cocaine has known to have done it too. Let's watch some clips, shall we?
Okay.
Let's watch some TikToks. I want to hear your thoughts.
Oh, nice.
When y'all eat tacos, do you tilt your head to the left or to the right?
Neither. The thighs typically keep my head firmly in place.
What? I didn't even understand.
It was
tilt
eating,
your head. I see.
Eating,
okay, got it.
Joke.
Okay, got it.
Eating taco. Oh, okay. See?
Yeah.
It's got beautiful blue eyes.
Jekka must like humor, right?
Yeah.
Jekka?
Yeah.
She likes humor?
Uh-huh.
She like Kill Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What time were you going to take her on Sunday?
Probably a barbecue place or a taco place or maybe even a Korean place.
Okay, whatever you do, don't go, what do you want to do? Call her and go, here's where we're going. You're gonna have to pick her up. You have a car?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pick you up at whatever time and I'll take you home.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Writing it down?
Yeah, okay. I got it in my head.
Okay. Yeah, I could put it on your spreadsheet. Okay. TikTok.
Yeah, right up. Coming right up.
Hi. Happy Monday. The Stanley Cup Finals start this week. My choice, Colorado. West Coast. So you know how it is. And I hate any team from Florida now. Have a good day, all. Bye.
Weird. Guy looks like a Muppet. Doesn't he? Looks like some sort of puppet. All right, another one. Ooh, Bobcat. Yeesh. What the hell? Oh, is he killing?
It's
got to be a pet.
Crackle.
And he's got a collar on it.
And he's... lounging with the other cat who's asleep, and I hope not dead, guys. You know, those.
I mean, anything's possible.
Those are freaking dangerous cats. That's an African one, right? It's like a bobcat here, but African version.
It looks overweight. I think it's like a pet.
I'm sure it's a pet. It's got a collar on.
Yeah.
But they're still, I mean, they're wild animals. Anyway, okay, next.
It's recommended in taking the urine therapy that you only drink your own urine. You don't take anybody else's. Unless it's somebody very, very sick, and then they would take the urine of a baby of their own sex.
Okay. You ever drink your own urine?
Nope.
Taste your own sperm?
Not on purpose.
Sort of a, you know. I like that answer. Keep going. Ticks, talks.
So how do you learn light language? I'm going to share my most important tip on how to get started with light language. Uh-oh. First, it's important to note that light language is not something that you learn. It's not something that your intellectual mind can wrap its head around. It's something that is felt, experienced, a more of a re-remembering of an activation. Every human being has the ability to re-remember how to speak and channel light language.
I feel like this is another talk that Christina could do a side-by-side with while she's spitting out potato chips.
Yeah, there's like 3 minutes left.
No,
on this one.
No, I can't stand it.
Some people want to teach people things, but not really know what they're talking about.
Yes, that's absolutely true. There's a lot of that these days.
Yeah.
Right? I blame your generation. Right? And it's a lot of that.
A lot of confidence, men and women.
What is that?
It's just like a lack of ability to control any part of our economy.
Oh, it's a, you know, but I think it's lack of engagement in anything, you know. So they're gonna teach you something that's delightful, and they delight them, and I'm gonna enlighten you with something that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, everyone's so confident in how they feel. Like, the way I feel is awesome. If only everyone could feel like this.
Jesus, horrible or hilarious? Uh oh, this is gonna be horrible.
There's no way this could be funny.
Well.
Head first.
That was sort of funny. That was funny. See, that was funny.
As long as you don't hit your head.
Yeah, I know. That's what that for me is like. That's the deciding, you know, sort of the line between funny and not funny. And
I think
horrible.
He caught himself like this.
No, this was hysterical. It's good. It's good. I like this. Go another one.
All right. Here's the last one.
Last one. Oh, what did he do? See that again. What happened? He just kicked the sign and that made him fall over?
Yeah, he just kicked it like an idiot.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Looks kind of European or something. Oh, he got his foot stuck. He got his foot stuck in there and fell
down. That garbage can kicks back.
Yeah.
You should recycle.
That's right. That's what the message the can's giving him. Well, listen, my friend, I enjoyed having you here. Thank you for
having me.
Thank you for talking to my wife and helping build my joy with her.
That was hilarious.
And I'm glad I could help out with Jacka. If you don't follow through, I will genuinely be pissed. I'm not kidding. I'll be, unless she bails out or something. But if you oversleep or something, I will be fucking humiliated and pissed. So I'm trusting you to do. I have this mixed feelings, gentlemen, though. Whenever I tell him to do something, I think, oh, shit, he might rebel against me. He's the anti-Korean. It's like, shit, I can't ask him to do too much because then he'll do the opposite. Right?
Yeah, well, when it comes to sex, I try to apply the proper technique.
Good. Thank you. I'm telling you that this is the technique. I can't guarantee that you will get laid on Sunday night, but I can guarantee it'll set you up to be in pretty good position.
Yeah.
Right?
That's all I can ask for.
Why did you call her before? Would you have?
You
would have.
Yeah, it's just like I've been sort of busy.
Or did you think it was just you had to be cool and like hang back a little bit?
No, it's just sort of like...
Your sort of window is 3 days.
Yeah.
You don't want to be too much before 3 days, and you don't want to be after 3 days. Because after 3 days, then now they're pissed, and they'll fuck you. But then before, it's like, hey, he's a creep. He's stalking me.
Right.
3 days, you're zone. We're right there with this.
Yeah.
You called on the right day, okay?
Right.
All right, good.
So, thank you.
All right, you're quite welcome. And so, Hans, you can see, where do you want them to see you?
TikTok, Instagram, DJ Hans Kim.
What am I going to find on TikTok?
A bunch of videos that got blocked.
Because why?
Because, like, I say, like, I don't understand child molestation. And then they're like, you shouldn't even talk about that.
Just the word child. What else?
I said, this is not an offensive show. We don't use words like retard or the F word. Can I say that?
I'd rather you not.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the N word that comes flying out of your mouth?
No,
oh, you have. Okay.
I haven't said that on tape yet.
Okay. All right, my friend. I look forward to joining you guys. I really do.
Yeah, please let me know.
And do come back sometime. I think your stuff is great and funny. And
thank you.
Wish you the best. Your story is, again, a lot of the Kill Tony guys' stories are fascinating. It's not the usual road to what you're doing right now.
It's more underground.
And you just no. It's just different. Just different roads to
rock and roll.
Not everyone, you know, studied it the way you did. Most people had some hint that there was a talent there before they got started. Like you didn't know.
Yeah.
Right?
I just took a chance.
You just heard Joe Rogan say that you could participate in meritocracy no matter who you are. And you thought, well, no matter who, that's me. And then you went and did it. That's interesting. That is really interesting. So good for you. It is a meritocracy, right?
Yes.
All right. Anybody can do anything.
Yeah.
But you really have to work hard at it.
Yeah.
And what if you had failed? What if it hadn't?
Then I would have had a lot of good stories and
you would have done
been happy.
Okay. So that's the point. If you really don't have it, he's got it. If you don't have it, be honest with yourself and kind of move on.
Yeah.
But give yourself enough time to find out.
Yeah.
And then if you have ability, just keep going. What the hell?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Emails, voicemails, send them. We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.